Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. Hello, 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 my friends, and welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ. Come on in and say hello, those of you that are new. If you don't know who I am, I'm SDJ, otherwise known as Sunny Dawn Johnston. It's a long name, so sometimes we just need to go by initials. Come on in, my friends, and say hello. I know you're going to be so excited to join me and my beautiful guest, Denise Lynn, today. So as you're coming in, just go ahead and say hello in the comments so we can see you. Let me know that you can hear me okay, you can see me okay, we're all good. And we are going to spend the next half hour or so just chatting about whatever comes up. That's why this is called Off the Cuff. It's a time and a space where I get to connect with people that I believe are change makers in the world. And this gal, Denise Lynn, for those of you that know her, you already know. And for those of you that don't, then you're in for a treat because she is just such a beautiful soul. And I feel very blessed to call her a friend. And so let's introduce you to Denise. Let me go and grab her. Hey, sister.
Hey, hi. Hi, everybody.
Yes, yes. How are you doing over there in California, my friend?
We are hanging in there. The smoke has settled. The fires are smoothing. So, you know, life is good. You don't realize how much you appreciate air until you don't have it.
So, oh, my goodness. Is that not the truth, right?
Like so many other things in life, you actually don't realize, you know, how great it is to run when, for some reason, you know, I'm broken a couple bones in my life, you can't run. So, like everything, you don't realize. Anyway, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just riffing here. Who knows?
Off the cuff. I mean, that's true. It's kind of like I think that we took hugs for granted. You know, I'm a hugger, and man, and I know I'm a hugger, and I know I love to hug, but dang, we can't do it now. I mean, we can, but it's a choice for a lot of people, and shoot, I miss it a lot. A lot. I would love to be able to squeeze you right now, but
baby.
Next time.
Yeah.
All right. So those of you that do not know Denise Lynn, I can't imagine that you don't know Denise Lynn, because man, does she have some stories to tell? I have just enjoyed so much getting to know Denise over the years. And so I want to just read a short little bio so that those of you that are new to Denise have a little bit of information about her. And then we're just going to jump in and chat off the cuff. So Denise Lynn is a world acclaimed expert in feng shui, space clearing, clutter clearing, for sure. Distilled information and wisdom into her teachings that she gained from indigenous cultures around the planet, the Aborigines of Australia, the Zulu and Africa, the Maori of New Zealand, as well as her own Native American roots. She has taught seminars in 25 countries, written a whole bunch of books, including the best-selling Sacred Space and Soul Coaching, as well as her personal memoir, If I Can Forgive, So Can You. Her books have been translated into probably more than this now, but 28 languages at the time. And she's been featured guest on Oprah, Lifetime, Discovery Channel, BBC TV, NBC, CBS, carry on, just keep going. And she's the founder of the International Institute of Soul Coaching. But most importantly, I just call her a friend. So thank you, Denise, for being here, my friend.
Thank you for having me so much.
You bet. So one of the things many of you, if you do follow Denise, you know that she's been in the affected by the fires over the last several years. Just, gosh, it just seems like it's just boom and then boom and then boom again, Denise. And I know there's been a lot of loss and devastation around you, but it's starting to clear, starting to get a little stronger, and and the earth is holding for now. Right? Yeah. Boy.
You have to wake up and just cherish every moment, because things can change so quickly. So if anything, this time with the pandemic, with our political upheaval, with the fires, with the smoke, if anything, it's just made me grateful for the small things in life. And there's so much to be grateful for. I missed it all.
Mm-hmm. I so agree. What are some of those small things? Like you said, breathing. Yeah, that one's important. That one's not so small anymore, but what are some of those things
you focus on? Okay, this morning, I knew I was going to have this time with you. And so I was excited. And I believe in the power of clearing space, because in no small way, this is a kind of a sacred gathering. So to honor that sacred gathering, I wanted to clean my office. So I got some water and I got on my hands and knees and I'm cleaning the floor with the intent that my foundations are strong. And I felt so grateful to have water. There are millions and millions of people that have no potable water. And I mean, not just, I think there's actually in the billions. I think there might be a billion. Yeah, I think it's a billion. There's how many people on the planet? 7 billion. Anyway, it's a big percentage of the world doesn't have potable water. And I've got this clean water to clear my floors. And I'm thinking, thank you. Thank you for this water. I have water to drink. I have extra water to clean my floors. Some people don't even have extra water to clean their floors. So that's part of my process this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the simple things that we're just so used to, you know. And I think that's part of what the pandemic has really taught us too, is that, you know, all the things and the way that life was, we don't necessarily want to go back to how it was because we want to expand and grow, but it's the gratitude that can carry us through all of these things.
You have to find something, because there's every day I get emails from people who have lost a family member to COVID, who have lost their job, who have losing their house, who are being kicked out because they can't afford rent. I mean, every day people are suffering. And so it's hard, because it's like finding that middle ground. You want to be able to be compassionate to people losing so much. But if you get so caught up in it, you actually contribute to it. Like, oh, life is terrible. And that actually contributes to it. But you don't want to be uncompassionate by like, life is perfect. This is God's plan. Because you've lost your connection. You've lost your heart. So finding that place where you can hear others and be compassionate, but at the same time, finding joy, because the joy that you're able to find now, it's like a pebble dropped in a still pool. It will radiate out. It will touch people. And right now we need those people who are willing to step into their joy in a compassionate way, not in a, I think we've moved out of this, but for a long time in the New Age, there was this idea of you've created it. Mm-hmm. You know, you are the architect of your own life. And in some ways you are, but to tell people that they've created their cancer or they've created their, I think that's not very kind. And so finding that place of between compassion and sympathy, I guess.
Yeah, and it's not an easy place to be, because there are aspects of what we do that do attract energy to us. And at the same time, we have the ability to maybe through our joy or through our happiness and through our compassion, transmute some of the challenge into, you know, into positivity, even when things are so hard. Because nobody is not affected by the pandemic, for example. Everybody's affected on some level.
On some level. And even if it's just the collective unconsciousness. Mm-hmm. So when I wake up in the middle of the night, sometimes I feel this heavy weight weighing down on my chest. And in the beginning, I started thinking, what the hell is this? And I was going through all kinds of trying to figure out. It was night after night. And I realized, this is the collective unconsciousness. Mm-hmm. In the night hours when we're open and we're receptive to the more subtle energies, what I've been feeling, what I was feeling, was that collective of like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. So at night when I remember, I kind of shield my husband and myself, because I want to be sensitive to people suffering, but also I want to be a powerful force for good. And it's hard to be when you get caught up in the misery of it all. So it's just, it's kind of finding that balance, I guess.
Yeah, and it's not easy to find that balance.
No.
I mean, I've been feeling the same thing you're feeling on your chest, I'm feeling in my head. and you know, had a lot of challenge with major headaches, migraines, and it's the same thing. It's the energy and the vibration of what's going on and being able to maintain my energy. Generally, I'm pretty good at, but when there's such a density that's worldwide, it's not easy.
No. And I'll ask my husband in the morning, and we both will have like not good dreams on the same night. And it's not like there's just this constant collective unconsciousness. It's like waves of the ocean. And, you know, sometimes the ocean looks dark and sometimes it looks clear and sometimes the waves are small and sometimes they're large. And that's like that energy of the collective. And I think sometimes when the waves are dark and they're big, it's like we feel it much more intimately. Sure. If anyone else listening is having these same kind of experiences, I'm going to suggest that at night you actually create a shield. You just shield yourself over the top. How do you do that? You visualize and imagine a shield. Where's the camera? About that thick. And you can see through it, but it is absolutely impenetrable except for love. Love and joy can penetrate in, but everything else. And it's good to do that at nighttime, especially now during this collective angst. Because then at least your cells can renew. At least your spirit can renew during the night hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a good point. Because for me, one of the things I've always done is I do it in the morning to manage my energy throughout the day. And the thing that I think has been missing for me is that I'm doing it in the morning to manage my energy throughout the day. But at night, I think, okay, well, I'm in my own space. But the thing is we're all interconnected. And so we don't have our own space. We don't, right?
Yeah. So, well, I haven't been doing it in the day. I only do it at night. So I'm thinking, you know what? We should do it do it at night. Do it in the day.
That's right. And then that way we're covering both, because I think for me it's always been, I've noticed it in my experience around people, not so much in my experience on my own, but reversing that. So let's do it both. Let's see how we do.
Yep. Yep, you're on.
That's a good plan. I think that's a good plan. So for those people that aren't familiar with you, Denise, one of the things I always say, so I had the opportunity last year to do an RV trip and we traveled and we spent the night on Denise's property, and we got to enjoy her beautiful, beautiful space. And the year before, you'd lost all those trees and so many homes around you. And then again, it's happened again. And one of the homes that we did one of our events at last year actually burned down this year during that
trip. Down in Santa Rosa or
Petaluma? Down in Santa Rosa on the top of a, like kind of the same view you have, but in a different area. And it was a vineyard and it just gone. And I think that, you know, it just tore at my heart, like the sacredness and the beauty and the space. And, you know, I think when we were with you and seeing the beauty of what you did have, even though so much of it was different from your perspective, you thought, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. And then feeling and tuning into that, you know, energy when life has changed so much and there's such great loss. And I know you had said, you know, I had to start to look at the environment. I had to see it not from the way that it was, the beauty that it was, but the beauty that it is now.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do. However, you do it.
It is hard. And you know that expression that all unhappiness comes from expectations. I don't know that all unhappiness comes from unfulfilled expectations, but certainly a lot. And we lost about 20,000 trees, and we moved here because of the trees, and we wanted to create a nature reserve. And we did that. I mean, we created miles of trails and they were manicured trails. It was beautiful. But in order for me to find sanity, I had to, instead of bemoaning the fact that the trees were gone, instead of bemoaning the fact that it's not what I consciously signed up for, but to the extent I could let go of that and embrace what is, I mean, we have a really expansive view now that we didn't have before because of the trees. Right. So to find what's good about what is, and it's not always easy, but there's always something good. And to the extent that you can look forward and not back is to the extent I believe that you could find joy.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. 100%. I was in meditation a few days ago, and and asking spirit just, you know, how the symbol that's come to me a lot is to be a lighthouse, to shine a light that can't really, you know, see. And then spirit said to me, and be a light seeker, like seek the light instead of seeking the trouble and the struggle you've got. And it's not easy to seek the light when it seems so dark.
And the great thing, though, is the darker the night, the brighter the light.
Yeah.
So you don't have to shine that much because it's so dark that even the little bit of light is going to be felt. I know I've been really on this whole theme about the light, and I've created a program all about the light for November because now is the time to find your light. The greater the darkness, the greater the light. And in fact, because we're in a time of darkness, it's actually easier to find your light in a crazy kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So say more about that, because I agree. I think that if we stay focused with our head turned back, it's just easy to look at the loss and the darkness. But if we look forward, we go, there's opportunity here. And there's a way to be able to see from a different perspective. And it's interesting because I was just on a trip, with my family, and we were in like Bryce Canyon and Moab.
Oh, wow.
and what was so cool, to your point, is it was dark, like pitch dark, but in the dark, the stars and the Milky Way.
Yes. Yes.
See things that here in Phoenix, we have light. And so we don't get to see that. I remember the stars at your house. I was like, oh my God, look at this, you know? So I think that's a great, great point. To that, the greater the dark, the greater the light. What would you suggest? So I know you've got something coming up, lightening up, which lights the word. That's my we didn't even know this, guys, but we're on the same page. So
good. I'd love to tell you about that. And it just came into my head. When you look at those stars, you're talking about the stars, some of that light is a million light years away. A million light years. It takes a million years for that light to get here, and yet we see it. And when I think about that, it makes me realize the power of our light. If I can see a star that's a million light years away, or a lot, I mean, it's really far, then it seems to me that the light that's inside of us can easily kind of encompass the Earth, encompass our planet. So anyway, okay, let me talk to you. Right now, we need lighthouses. We need light bringers. We need light travelers. We need it, and especially in the United States, but also we're connected throughout the world. And as we come upon this time in November in the United States with the election, every day I get emails from people who say, I'm scared. Mm-hmm. I'm scared. And what I know is that even one person who's able to step into the light can make a difference, and we need people to make a difference. Mm-hmm. So I came up with this program. It's 28 days, and every day we do clutter clearing, because if you want to lighten up your life, clear your clutter. It literally, it's like modern day alchemy, but also every day I have guided journeys to go inside your body. For many years, I worked as a shiatsu practitioner on Union Street in San Francisco, and I put my hands on the body. And maybe you found this too in your own life. And you can see images, you can see memories. And those images, memories, beliefs, and judgments will affect a person's life forever. And often they don't even know they're there. Mm-hmm. So you can go in and you can see that. I just did a Facebook Live on my Facebook page and talking about a man who never got close to people. And he came to me and he just felt isolated from people. And I put my hands on him and on his leg, and I saw this dog bite him. And he goes, I completely forgot. But when I was a kid, I had a dog that I really loved. He was my dog. And he bit me and they took him away from me. And he said, I've just realized I made a subconscious decision never to get close. He said, it just devastated me never to get close to anybody or anything because I might lose them. And from that point forward, and so just seeing that image and reworking it from that point forward, he began to be close to people. He began to have friends. So I got excited about this idea of going into every single part of the body to see what's there and to clear it with the intent of activating your light body. Because the thing that clogs your light body is not just the stuff that you surround yourself, but it's that internal stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it.
That is exciting. That is exciting. So it starts November 1st.
November 1st. Yeah. And if people are interested, if they go to my daughter's website, Meadow, like a field of flowers, meadowlinn.com, and it's called Lightening Up. And we have a really low price on it because we have pandemic prices on everything right now, just because, you know, people are struggling.
Yeah.
But, and we have a Facebook page, and every single day there's a Facebook Live, and I've got guest speakers. In fact, if you were available, and you might not be available, I'd love to have you be one of our guest speakers. So just,
I could probably work that into my pandemic schedule.
Yeah. that would be awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So Meadowlinn, LINN.com, and then you can go and check it out. It's called Lightening Up.
Lightening Up.
So this is something that just when you just said, you know, back in the day, I used to be a body worker. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I was a shiatsu practitioner.
Okay. That's the thing, you guys. You can't even imagine how many things this woman has done. Like how many different types of jobs and ways that she has been out in the world. Like I just listened to you and I'm like, are you like 500 years old? Because it won't take that long to do all of these things that you've done so amazingly. So I would love to hear, because this is called Off the Cuff, Denise. And so one of the things I like to do is just ask questions that are off the cuff that are more about you than kind of
Perfect.
What we do.
Perfect.
And so what is, out of all of the jobs, because I know you've had so many of them, some of the stories are just like, oh my God. What is the job that was the most favorite thing that you have done in as far as a career or, you know, business of some sort?
Tina, it's a hard question to answer because I've done a lot of different things in my life, but I started teaching massage when I was 19. And I'm in my 70s now. So I've had 51 years of, you know, training, teaching, practicing. But what happens is I do something and I love it. And then if I feel the energy start to shift, I go in a different direction. So whatever I'm doing in the moment is what I love and I'm passionate about. And then mostly what I do is I train other people. And once other people can take that and move forward, then I like to start fresh and new. And it's scary because it's easy to keep going with what you know you're good at and what you know you're successful at. What is scary is to start something completely new. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might fail, but that's part of the juice of life.
It is.
So I've loved everything I've done, and it's just been different.
So which one has the craziest stories? You don't have to tell the story.
Okay, the craziest stories. Okay, the craziest stories are probably stories I can't tell.
Right.
I used to teach erotic massage and sexuality and sensuality. And those are the crazy stories I can't tell right now. But,
okay, you don't have
but
to
it was
tell,
fun. But... It was so exhilarating. And what was amazing, I'm teaching erotic massage. And you would think, oh, yeah, it's all sexy, baby. But what happened was people kept having like seeming miracles. A woman came and she was in a wheelchair and she came to my erotic massage. And I mean, they were erotic. Everybody's naked. I mean, it was not spiritual.
Right.
But at the end, she could walk. And it was like, she said, this is a miracle. She'd been in a wheelchair for most of her life since she was a kid. Over and over again, people had healing miracles. And I thought, well, what's going on? I'm teaching sex. But I realized our sexual energy is our life force energy.
Yes.
And when you can release the shame, the guilt, the angst around it, it becomes this surging life force energy that is healing.
Yes.
Over and over again, people had healing experiences in those erotic massage courses. Mm-hmm. And that was not my intent. I just thought, let's just enjoy life. Let's explore this part of life. But
I 100% because our sexuality is part of our creativity, and our creativity is connected to spirituality. It's all the same energy. So if you have those blocks, it's blocking the energy. So if you unlock it, there's going to be healing. I mean, I think it's so important. It's, why do we not talk about that? I was just having a conversation with somebody the other day. Why in the spiritual circles is that not talked about, do you think, Denise? Because I think it's so important.
I think the cultural shame and guilt and religious and family is so dense. It's hard. I mean, there are enclaves that do that, but it's not talked about openly. Yeah. And it's too activating. I mean, yeah. I loved the years that I did that. And yeah. it was about sensuality too. And, mm-hmm. and you know, the textures, the colors, the sense of life and embracing all of it, not just. And also in our sexuality, we tend to think of like penis and vagina, but really the entire body is this sensual,
yes.
I don't know, receptor.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
and so beginning to move into that as well. So I don't know. I love those years. I loved them. They were fun. And I remember one guy, he had actually spent years with Sai Baba. And he was one of Sai Baba's top people. And he had come. I had really interesting people come. I had a priest come. I had an ex-nun come. I'm like, really? I had a senator come once. This is a long time ago.
Were you in California then?
No, I was in Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yeah, kind of like California. And it's very, we weren't allowed to tell about the senator, but it was so many years ago, it doesn't matter now.
Sure.
But, and so this guy had been with Sai Baba. And so he's moved, you know, and he came to this course and during the course, he could see through the walls and he could hear, there was a car coming up the mountain. And he said to him, he said, I hear oming. And well, it was actually the car coming up, but he had entered into this altered state. And he said, I can see, and he was able to describe what was through the walls outside, which he hadn't been out there. But he said, all those years with Sai Baba, I never had this kind of mystical experience. Again, I wasn't trying to create mystical experiences.
Right.
Just to activate that, I don't know, that joyous life force energy.
Yes.
And I realized it's because we suppress that. Mm-hmm. And so when you just let it flow, and again, I wasn't trying to have spiritual experiences or healing experiences, but that was the result of that life force energy flowing.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I think it's so important. And I'm encouraging people to start talking and teaching about it because it's necessary. It's just energy. It's all energy.
And we have a friend, I haven't been to her courses, but I love this woman, Barbara Corrales. Do you know Barbara Corrales?
I don't.
Uh-uh. She teaches a tantra and she was one of Louise Hay's best friends. Mm-hmm. And she is outrageous and fun and dynamic. And so I know people really like her courses. So she is teaching, you know, sexuality.
That's awesome. Fantastic. I love it. I love it. Okay. What is your greatest quality?
My willingness to tell the truth to myself.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I don't always tell the complete 100% truth to other people. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it's important just to be gracious. But to myself, mm-hmm. I'm really honest.
Mm-hmm. Now, has it always been that way or did you have to learn how to get there? Is that just your nature?
No, I did a lot of therapy.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to get there.
Yeah, it's a lot of seminars, a lot of, I don't know, a lot of therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. But also a lot of seminars too.
Mm-hmm. What is your not so greatest quality?
According to other people, it's my supreme self-judgment. Oh. And according to me, it's probably I futzed about my body. Oh, why don't I fix my body? Why don't I change the way I eat? Why don't I drop some weight? So for me, that's what it is. But according to other people, it's self-judgment.
To being hard on yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a common one too. It's one that a lot of us struggle with for sure.
Yeah.
If you had to pick one thing that you have bought in the last year, that's like your very favorite thing you couldn't live without. Do you have something?
I don't have anything that I couldn't live without except like water or food. God, I just love stuff.
But you have a lot of amazing
stuff. Yes. Stuff. I have a lot of cool
You have so much cool stuff.
I do. Do you know, gosh, I just love stuff. I don't know. I love essential oils, and I love crystals, and I love clothes, and I just love stuff.
I love that. I love stuff. Hey, how about your pool? Have you been, how do you love?
Yes. Oh my God. This is, see, I was raised, we were, well, according to places in the world, we were not poor, but according to the United States, we were very poor. Mm-hmm. And we squatted, we moved into abandoned army barracks for a while. We moved about once a year. And they'd just been abandoned. They were World War II army barracks. Then we just moved in. And so, and for clothes, we just got hand-me-downs. And so often, I can remember going to kindergarten, and the hand-me-down that some relative had sent went almost to the ground, and I'm dragging this dress to the ground. And when I was in high school, the teachers got together, and they pooled their money so I could buy something to wear to the prom. Oh. And I grew up without very much, and also the poverty mentality too, not ever expecting much. So it never, ever occurred to me that I could have a swimming pool. Mm-hmm. And it is freaking amazing.
It is amazing.
Oh my God. It's like the coolest thing ever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Sometimes I can't even believe it. Like, this is my pool. And I can swim in my pool. But you know, again, there's that gratitude. If I wouldn't have had, I mean, there were times we didn't have enough food, and I can remember being really hungry. Mm-hmm. And like, crying because there just wasn't any food. Yeah. And so to go from that, it makes me really appreciate, you know, when I say I love stuff, I appreciate my stuff because I know what it's like to not have stuff. Mm-hmm. And I
for
appreciate
sure.
my pool.
You know? And I think it shows in the love that you have for the stuff that you have. Like, you have a real appreciation. Like it's not just stuff to accumulate, it's stuff because there's actually a love connection to it.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, you were building your pool last year, and it was almost done when we were there. And so I was. Were you able to be in it during the winter, or was it too cold?
We didn't have it last winter, so.
Okay, so it wasn't ready yet. Okay, so yeah, I knew you'd love it. I'm so glad.
And it's funny, in the beginning when I started to get stuff, I did a lot of inner work with abundance. In fact, I have an abundance course, online course through Hay House that is great because it begins to rework your subconscious mind. It's where it starts. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, when I started to push through my poverty consciousness and step into abundance consciousness, I felt ashamed to have stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember we had this really old car and it was always breaking down. And I was going to get not a brand new car, but a newer car. And I was so embarrassed for anybody to know because I guess I didn't feel worthy of having it wasn't my identity. My identity was someone who didn't have stuff. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that I could say, yeah, we've got a pool is great because in the past it would have been, well, yeah, you know, I would have made excuses for it. Now
for
it's
sure.
like, hey. I got a pool.
I got a pool. It's a beautiful pool. That's awesome. All right, Denise. So we have an election coming up in 11 days? And
oh my God.
And so this is my last question for you. So we've got an audience of people like you've had that have, you know, people that are emailing with fear and concerns and worries and things like that. If you were going to leave everyone with a message that's in regard to how to manage their energy around this upcoming shift, what would you say to them?
I would say to diminish the amount of radio and television you watch. Spend time in nature and just keep affirming all is well, all is well, all is well. A couple of days ago, the FedEx guy drove up our drive. And I ran out to the balcony because I always like to say hi to the UPS or FedEx because, you know, we haven't had any visitors since February. Yeah, since February. A friend and her mom came over for about 20 minutes to pick up some clutter clearing stuff that I had outside. But that's it since February. So it's like, oh my God, it's the FedEx guy. So it was a new guy and he gets out and he looks happy. I'm like, you look happy. And he goes, yeah, I am. And I'm like, well, obviously you don't listen to television or watch the or listen to the radio or watch TV. And he goes, no, I don't. I just listen to music. And it was like, oh, his energy was substantially different than almost everybody that I've seen or been around. Mm-hmm. It was vibrant. But yeah. He said, I don't listen to the radio and I don't watch TV. It's you can that is also a collective frequency. And if you can step out of that, and it's hard not to, it's addictive. It is really addictive. I mean, we watched the debate last night. It was addictive not to, so it's hard. But if you can just diminish it a little, you can still kind of see what's going on. I think it'll put you in better state to handle what's going to happen and what is happening.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree.
What's your advice to people?
Yeah, I agree. And remember that we're all humans. We're all spirit beings in these human bodies, and we need to keep our humanity. Keep our humanity. Don't forget that we're all beings walking a journey.
Yeah. And don't judge yourself when you lose it too.
Right. Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Get out of the judgment period.
If we yeah, get out I was of like, ourselves. Okay.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, my friend. Well, hey, thank you so very much for being with me. I love you, darling. Those of you that have been joining us, thank you so much. I know you, if you didn't know Denise, you know her now, and y'all love her just as much as we do. And go check out her new program, starts November 1st, Lightening Up. We could all use a little of that. Sure. Thank you, sister.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Much love.
Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydonjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend, and I hope to see you next week.